This is Jay Bucket, and welcome to episode 69 of Semen Demons. I mean, whatever the fuck this podcast is. Crippled System!
Crippled System, yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Singular, unlike what Jeremy
systems,
thought for the longest
systems.
Time.
What do you play?
In the 60s, girls were getting high. LSD had them giving up thigh. I also play Crix.
That sounds like a quote of some kind.
I will say this now, but Travis has already turned it off. Travis is not a fan of you on the podcast.
Fair enough.
Travis can't handle the uncontrollable thing that is...
That's because he's our straight man.
Yeah. He'll text me going, I'm out. I lasted 3 minutes last time he was on. So Travis is already off the air. He's disconnected.
He texted me like a half hour ago, and he's like, that tweet makes me want to not listen.
So he's already done.
Fair enough.
So that we lost half our audience.
We still got Jeff. I'm Nathan, and I play Convergence.
Yeah, you do.
I'm Katie, and I'm sad I didn't have something as smooth to say as Jay Bucket.
Yeah, that's all right. That was smooth.
Did you play a faction?
Oh, yes.
Soikle.
Circle. Silkle. How did you say it?
Soikle.
Silkle.
Soitenly.
You really can't say that, can you?
Swickle.
Joyzy. I like your way better, actually.
Wow. Can you say soy like soy sauce?
Soy.
There you go. Soikle.
Soikle.
Hey!
There was an R in the last syllable there. She was like Soikwirl.
She added a couple K's. I heard a couple K's.
What was that?
Soy, like soybeans, and then Cole, like Cole the Conqueror.
Soikle.
Soikle.
Yeah, if you say it like this, it's Soikle.
Okay, your turn.
I'm Jeremy, Valiant 418, and I play Rattan Legion.
I'm Andy, Major Tusk on the forums. I play Retribution and Mercenaries.
Moistenaries.
Moistenaries.
Moisten.
They're moist.
Moistenaries.
Some people don't like the word moist, which was always weird to me.
I like moist. Yeah. I was watching a question and answer thing that some college had, the kid who plays Joffrey, on, and they stole the Inside the Actors Studio questions and asked him, and one of those is, what's your least favorite word? And he said he doesn't like the word panties.
Panties?
He said, I don't even want to say it. Panties. He's okay with panties, but the word itself.
The word itself bothers panties. Him.
It's
like
salve.
Panties.
It's like the word salve. It's a weird word.
Salve.
Salve.
With the silent L.
Like it's weird. Medicinal.
Salve?
Salve, right.
Yeah. That's how you say it.
I have a friend who doesn't like campers.
Oh, it's spelled.
Okay.
It is spelled. That
okay.
is true.
You are correct.
When I am reading and that word comes up, I say salve
so,
in my head.
Like you drive Throga the forest?
Clearly.
Throga.
Do you ride your cavalry?
Cavalry.
Better yet, cavalry.
Certainly. Cavalry.
All over the pronunciation tonight. You're like an expert. Katie.
Normally,
good
I'm
job.
The one that's failing that category.
It's true.
It's exciting to see someone else.
You do have a speech impediment. It's called beer.
Oh, I was going to go with dumb.
That's a good backup one to have. We'll go with beer first, though, today. And I'm Brian. I play Scorn. And a little bit of, I think I'm going to play a little bit of Crix. I want to play some Gorshade 3. He's out.
You should put that disgusting picture of your closet with the model foam.
Yeah, that's impressive.
That's not disgusting. The only thing that's disgusting about that is you haven't labeled each and every one, and they're not all perfectly aligned, and that bothers me.
It took me a long time to fill that. When I moved this weekend, we put a shelving in one of my closets, and I just stacked all of my foam trays, and there's a lot of foam trays.
And I forgot to bring it to you. But I thought about you today. And I thought, good, I have it.
That's a good side topic,
Katie. Katie was so interested in Brian's response to her question that she immediately started talking to me about something else.
But it was really quietly so no one could hear as she said it real loudly into the mic. Hey, Jason, that. No one can hear me talking. I've turned my head so no one can tell I'm talking to you now.
Don't the microphones know to shut off when you aren't making eye contact?
You have like 3 sips of that beer. What's wrong with you today?
I'm tired.
All right, tired Katie with 3 sips of beer, she's done.
Equals drunk other person. Yes, that is true, actually.
All right. Well, that's our introductions.
You're
welcome.
I didn't even hear the whole thing about your phone, but that's okay. I'll just listen to the podcast later.
There are shelves.
No, I'll just listen to the podcast later.
No one heard it. Everyone heard.
You won't be able to hear it on the podcast. All you hear is Katie's side comment.
Now, in this picture, does speak 1,000 words. With much of foam. It's impressive.
Yeah, it's
a closet full of foam.
Yeah, I was going to say my foam closet is probably going to be just about as crazy.
I would assume just as bad.
You guys should have foam wars.
Foam off.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's a lose-lose. Well, the funny thing is, I'll post it on Facebook. And if I post it on my Facebook, you know, obviously the gamers will know, oh, that's all this foam. But someone like my mom will be like, well, that's a closet full of foam. That's not very impressive.
Well, she wouldn't even know it's foam. She'll be like, what's that closet full of black stuff?
Yeah. Well, that's another thing, reason for this. But, uh-huh. We'll save that one for later.
All right, then.
Yeah.
Do we have announcements this week, Brian?
It's episode 69.
It is episode 69.
And that's funny because it's a Tesseract.
What's it, that thing?
It's where if you rotate it 180 degrees, it still looks the same.
No, Tesseract. And that was in the last Avengers movie. They were all... Okay.
Yeah, that too. Tesseract.
Yeah, that's and Captain America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It's like a visual palindrome,
actually.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Actually, I might be using the wrong word.
You might be.
Damn it.
Cataract? Cataphract.
Yeah, well, cataphract.
Those are your eyes.
No, it's like the most recent edition of, like, Princess Bride, you know, where, like, the if you rotate the DVD, it looks at a different picture of them, but the title still says Princess Bride either way because of the way the font is.
Okay.
It's one of those. Damn it. I know I'm using the wrong word now, and it's going to annoy me.
You have annoyed us. Yes, May 3rd, an event in Madison, Wisconsin. Nice. At Misty Mountain, we're giving away all of the Kickstarter models and some other models.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 35-point Commander's Crucible event, 3 lists, $20 entry fee. Please bring cash if possible.
What about checks?
Cash. You bring me a check, I'll punch you in the face.
Yeah. Can I pay you in
the water on them?
I will pour water on you. I will screw you. I have a water bottle now for the dogs. So I'll bring it to the tournament. Just squirt everyone that tries to give me a check, and then kick them out.
Seems fair.
Checks.
I fucked up my Iacos figure. How do we pronounce it? Iacos?
Iacoine.
I think you're right.
Shakamofina. Shinine.
Shakamofina. My flag boy. Yeah, I fucked him up. I left off his, shoulder pads.
Really?
It doesn't look too dreadful, though. Just look like...
If they're shoulder pads, can't you just add them after the fact?
No, because of the fucking way the pose is. Mm. He's got the trident here and something over here, and it would be clumsy, so...
You know what you could do.
I could give it to you and you could fix it for me.
Yes.
Thank you, Andy.
Yes, yeah. I like how somebody posted, this is a little off topic, but on the forums.
Off topic? Us?
I know, right? Somebody posted on the Muse forum saying, what do I do to find someone to assemble my models if there's, like, you know, a bunch of flash and it's difficult to assemble? And literally, like, first or second response was, well, in Madison, the way we do that is we just send them to Andy and then problem solved. And the guy was like, well, I live in San Francisco and, you know, everybody makes lots of money and somebody wants to do that. And, like, 3 other people were like, I guarantee you that there are nerds
with
in San Francisco
right.
who are like, yes, for $5 or $10, right. I will assemble said model. Right. And the guy was like, I don't know. They're all pretty well paid in San Francisco. I'm like, yeah, they're... It's not like Andy's, like, outselling himself on the street corner. Right. Like, he has a good job. He just enjoys assembling models, and he's good at it.
Well, he likes money. $5 or $10 isn't going to be like, oh, man, I can pay the rent today because I have $500.
Right. Yeah.
Because they enjoy it.
I might need that now. I live by myself now.
That's true.
Heads up. It's one of those things you can do, like, by the way, side note, ambigram. And then back to that, like, Andy can do it while he's watching TV. He can do it at his desk while not doing work. You know, he's got all this time that he's not doing anything productive with, so he can just earn an extra $5, $10, $20
like
assembling models.
I can't do it when I play in WoW, though. It's rather annoying.
I've seen you do it while chatting with people at War Machine, so you don't need all that much attention for it. But you do need 2 hands.
Yeah.
You could put your mouse down at your foot.
And just stomp on it.
Just stomp on it.
Just raid like that.
Oh, yeah, that could
Didn't Brian used to do that? Where
you don't raid anyway. You play Pokemon in WoW. Like, you don't even raid anymore, do you?
I've started.
Don't you just Poke-WoW?
I stopped Poke-WoW. I haven't actually done a pet battle in a long time.
When I lived here, you'd come over, you're just like, Nathan, my monkey's the best, he likes bananas.
his name is Bananas.
His name was Bananas, yeah.
And he hates critters. He hates critters with a passion. So... Yes.
Can you get
on May 17th.
May 17th. That's what we were doing.
That's the one weekend I'm not doing an event. May 9th, 10th, and 11th, St. Louis MiniCon.
But didn't Aduro post and say...
May 24th.
His is 24th, okay.
I think it's 24th. I don't want to listen to Aduro too much.
24th.
It's the 24th. I would have been in Des Moines.
I would look it up on the computer, but then I'd break the sound.
So, May 3rd and by us.
Andy.
The second week, St. Louis, the third, and then a break, and then the 24th.
The St. Louis event does technically have a name. It's the Gateway Open.
Yeah. And then the 31st is the last event in Cedar Rapids, the final of the 4-pack.
He who shall not be named has been banned from that event.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Well, it's not funny why it happened, but...
Oh, yeah. So,
kind of.
What happened?
Nathan, I'll tell you that someone about you've had
we brought it up
in the past.
Who nobody's had pleasant experience with.
We'll tell you later.
But anyway, side note, along the lines with, like, opens and stuff like that, this is Convergence came 2 hit points away from winning a War Machine Weekend qualifier yesterday.
Yeah,
wow. So, you know, tying into last week when people ask, when will Convergence be there?
They are.
Well,
we were right.
They were 2 of the 4 players in the semifinals.
Yeah.
Like, they were really, really good.
Oh, yeah. Convergence is there.
So as a non-War Machine announcement, yesterday in Nevada, was it Nevada or New Mexico? They unearthed a ton of
E.T. The fabled E.T.
I played the shit out of that game when it came out. My little brother had a 2600, and he got it for Christmas. And he played it, and I didn't realize it was shit at the time. I was
like,
okay.
I watched a video that talked about it, and it's like, if you actually... The issue is it's completely nonsensical.
Right.
If you know what you're doing, if you actually know what the icons mean, and if you know the controls and whatever, like, once you figure the game out, it's not that terrible for an Atari game.
Yeah.
It's just, it's nonsensical and random until you figure it out.
A lot of falling into pits.
So, Katie, do you know the E.T. thing? Are you like, what's going on here?
I saw the thing on the Facebooks, and I was like, I don't really know what that is, so I moved on with my life.
They made so many copies of the game, it was so bad, they literally just, in the middle of the night, took, like, dump trucks worth and just buried them in a landfill, in a desert.
Was so terrible they
couldn't
sell
them.
They buried it in the desert
and they denied it for years and they dug
the
it
game
up
itself is basically almost stopped the entire video game industry.
It did almost
between
kill.
That
it,
game and there was like two games that came out back
Pac-Man
back.
A guy programmed it in like a day.
They were like,
here you go, program it. We need it tomorrow.
No, he said he was at the landfill thing.
Yeah.
He said they spend so much money and time getting the rights to it because it came out right after E.T. and they wanted it out before Christmas and he only had a couple weeks to do it. And he's like, you know, whatever, I don't care. I still do things. And, you know, it was an impossible deadline and it is what it is. It's kind of cool that, you know, it's this ridiculous thing now.
Be famous, be infamous,
yeah,
right?
It didn't ruin his life or anything. You know, no. Now he's just there kind of, you know, amused by it. They're making an entire documentary based on that thing, too.
Are they really?
Yeah. Nice.
That's funny.
I'm interested in it. They had a nice throwback to that in Code Monkeys. I don't know if you ever watched that show.
Yeah. It's surprisingly not a terrible show.
Yeah. Not around for long, but it was a funny show.
Yep.
That's all I have for announcements.
So lots of things in May. Lots of things forever. It is con season. There's lots of things forever.
I want to fit in a board game day so bad in May.
Yes. I would be okay with that.
Probably the 17th. Possibly. Who knows?
We should play board games this week sometime.
That's the only weekend I can move.
Yeah, the 17th, I won't be there because I'll be working all weekend.
Well, I mean, board games can be like the Friday the 16th or the Sunday.
We can just play them on Tuesday. We should all play board games Tuesday night.
Yeah, we'll figure out something.
One more thing out.
Yes. What? Is that English?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It was as close to English as the other words she's been saying on the podcast today.
It was War Machine night. I missed you.
Are we going to that again?
We went this week. You were there.
Yeah, because there was no Pegasus on Wednesday. I thought it was instead of.
And I was going to see. I was so excited. It's like, hey, guys, I heard WoW. I'm really excited. Look at the fuck are these chairs doing here? And no, I'd been to Pegasus in the past couple weeks and remembered. I just didn't put two and two together. Like,
did you stick around for the little concert thing?
I did not stick around for the fucking Frodo Fest. No. Leather mugs and whatever the fuck mandolins.
Leather mugs.
Not. Dude, that sounded awesome. Why didn't we go to the leather mugs and mandolins?
I didn't know there were mandolins involved.
Oh, shit. I'm making it up. But that's what I imagine it was.
This is what you do is you get my hopes way up here and then you just dash them.
There were ponies, too.
That's what she said. I'm implying you're bad at sex, Jason.
Shit, I missed that. Well, I am, actually.
Yeah.
Unless I'm with myself.
I've seen the videos.
Who hasn't? We've all seen them.
Unfortunately.
When they're free and they're an advertisement, it's hard to miss them.
he emails them all constantly.
Sometimes he's like, look, this is a cute little thing of my kid that's doing something.
And
I'm
sometimes
like, oh,
it's another cute little thing.
Yeah. Cute.
Well, little.
Little.
Right.
Exactly. That's it. 50-50. So no more announcements, right?
Or, yes. You want to talk about some emails you read.
Oh, you were proud of literacy.
Email.
Oh, well, the fact that I can read it has to be impressive. Something.
And they're emails you didn't delete.
That's true, I didn't.
So, why didn't you delete them?
Because he didn't tell Andy that he wouldn't delete them. He only deletes things if he tells Andy he won't delete them.
He's like,
I have to tell Jeremy not to delete anything. And then Jeremy's like, oh, delete everything that's not important, right?
It's reverse psychology.
It makes sense to me.
It's like the Kids in the Hall sketch, the don't put salt in your eyes thing.
Jeremy, don't put salt in your eyes.
Okay. Brody, who did some of the t-shirts for us, he did the colored Zappity Grumble shirt that we put out.
Nice.
I don't think you can say colored. That's not the preferred nomenclature.
Yeah, we
you covered
that
last week. Jesus,
yeah.
Damn it.
You beat me to it. Like, if I wasn't mid-drink, I was going to make
that
same joke. That.
I'm not usually quick. I'm happy with that.
All right, so anyway.
I heard you.
Oh, my God. I went to take another drink and Katie beat me to that one.
Tag team, dude.
We are Eiffel Towering you.
Yay!
Next time we can give you 11 of these.
I'll just keep drinking and you guys will keep being funny for me.
Anyway, Brody. Has a t-shirt design that he apparently had made up for the Muse guys, but didn't hear back from them, so he's going to send it to us.
Fuck it, Muse.
It's right. Oh, it's Crick's themed, so six of us in the room will be excited to see it. But we don't have it yet. And he also said that he really appreciated episode 68, that we, like, cheered him up when he was having
I think he's too. Made an extended t-shirt.
When was the last time you put Cricks on the table?
You're playing Rhett right now.
You are a Rhett player. A distant third is all other factions.
When I put my trolls on the shelf because I said I wouldn't play them until they're painted, I started Crix right away.
He basically threw the trolls away.
Yeah,
I will not play them to the painted. Threw them in the garbage. Moved on to the next faction.
And Crix is what got me into War Machine.
I'm aware, but you don't play them anymore.
Jason was so kind. He gave me a glass mug with a scar on and everything. It was amazing. And then the cats knocked it off of my fridge,
bastard cat.
And so I had glass shards.
That's what you do with
shit.
Gifts.
Sucks. Yeah. Good job, cats.
Anyway, so Crick's themed shirt idea.
Nice.
Pip sent us like 8 million. One of my personal favorites is Wanted, competent circle player.
Ooh.
there was a request for a Swedish Muslim Jeremy t-shirt with the text Bork Bork.
Nice.
There was a How I Wasted Your Time in reference to How I Met Your Mother. There was
that was going to be made, and someone's. You know, I'm surprised that hasn't been a thing out there.
Yeah, man. It should be.
You know, that's literally a money idea right there. We're not going to follow up on.
Yep.
There's a request for a picture of Nathan's face saying Bojangles.
Ooh.
There's a fuck you, Jeremy. I guess.
Hey, yeah.
I want to cripple your system. He's from Springfield with an arrow pointing to one side, which I actually kind of enjoy. Oh, that was pretty good. And then one that on the back says, enjoying my tech with an arrow pointing out at your ass.
Ass.
Yeah, sure, sure.
And then I survived a Nathan Hoffman rant.
Yeah.
So he had lots of t-shirt ideas.
I want to cripple your system. That's,
of course, Pip, we didn't ask for ideas. We asked to go through our, no, our things and give
that's
it
fine.
To
I am. I like How I Wasted Your Time. That is a great shirt.
If you're going to do the I Survived a Nathan rant, then you have to survive it in person because it's just different.
True.
It is a different experience.
I did like what Brian said in one of the threads or whatever, and Brian does have a gift with this. When I'm mid-rant, Brian will just throw out like one word or sentence at the perfect time to just trip me, and I fall face first metaphorically, and it just my gears just grind and shift into the wrong position, and it's terrible. And he has a gift for doing that.
It's
like I'm going 150, and he just like flips the switch, and my transmission goes into reverse, and the engine explodes.
And then Ethan explodes, and it's funny.
It's one of Brian's favorite hobbies.
It's a good hobby.
It's a dangerous one, but it's still fun.
It's a risk. So anyway,
well, if he flips over a couple times, he forgets what happened, and he's like wanders off in another direction. It's a complete reset. It's a factory reboot.
Brain just shuts down.
Complete reboot. And then one other person, Shane York.
Are you going to mention that it was Pip's birthday?
Oh, it was Pip's birthday this week as well. So happy birthday, Pip.
Happy birthday, Pip. You're the best.
But that was in British time, so.
So there's no way to go.
It'll be in like 3 days.
Yeah.
So it hasn't happened yet.
Because they're on the other side of the international week line.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that how that works?
I think it's like August over there, isn't it?
Yes.
Probably.
And
they can tell us the future.
Shane York. I feel like I know Shane York. Do I know Shane York in person?
Maybe why not. Are you asking me?
I don't know. I figured maybe you remember.
You're looking at me. Like,
anyway, he sent us a t-shirt idea as well. LFM, good circle player wanted. I'm sensing a trend, Katie.
Hey, if anybody wants to move to Madison and be a good, competent circle player, be my guest.
So anyway, those are some of the emails we got this week. We got some other ones too, but most of them related to the contest, which we'll be talking about next week once we have winners.
Yeah.
So which ended today.
Yes. Yeah, that actually ended yesterday.
Yesterday.
I posted that.
Yep.
So when this comes out, it'll have ended day before yesterday?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, no, we could. This will be up tonight.
Oh.
Ooh.
Fancy.
Ooh.
Nice.
As long as I don't have to do editing.
Right, because you haven't had to do editing the last two straight weeks.
Yep. And as long as I don't have to do editing. So, Jason?
Yes, Andrew.
Keep it.
Oh, well, of course.
Keep it.
Well, naturally.
Here's the thing. When he called you Andrew, I was like shocked. That completely makes sense that that's your actual name.
Yeah.
Like, who the hell is he talking to?
You're adorable.
Well, no, to be fair, I had like that exact same moment yesterday because I kept getting emails from the company, the property management company for here being like, we're going to be showing your whatever. And like, I was saying it. And so... they called me and they're like, just to let you know, we're going to be entering the abode. And I'm like, I haven't lived there for a year. And they're like, oh, yeah, our bad, our bad. Do Andrew and Nicholas still live there? I'm like, who the hell are Andrew and Nicholas? Oh, you mean Andy and Nick.
They're sending people into this building?
Yeah, they're showing off this house. This house has been lived in by bachelors for the past almost 10 years.
When you say showing it off, you mean like when you're in Italy and they take you on a tour of the catacombs to see like the corpses and the destruction and stuff? You know, they're actually showing it off like as a tourist thing.
Yeah.
Like, this is what you can do to one of our properties.
Yeah. The downstairs bathroom is pretty sweet. That's like a top five experience in my life.
Gross.
It's lived in. You guys have lived here for what, like a decade total? I mean, in all honesty, the thing's been lived in by a circle, not a circle, a cycle of four bachelors at a time. It's gonna...
felines.
The fact that it hasn't been burned down or condemned means they're actually ahead of the curve. Yeah.
Especially curve. Since Brian lived here. Mm.
Yeah.
Yes. I set it on fire, though.
But only once.
Only once.
The porch was set on fire.
I love the time. I did knock on the door. I'm like, who the fuck's knocking on the door? I open the door. I was like, yeah, I'm your neighbor. I'm like, hey, your porch is on fire. I'm like, oh, that's really interesting. Thank you for letting me know that. I close the door. I should probably deal with that. I turn around. Smoke's belling off of the patio. I'm like, yeah, I should probably, I'll go take care of that now.
I saw your neighbors for the first time ever today, and they look like gamer types. Am I mistaken?
I don't. Okay. We don't talk to them.
The gamers that run people. The neighbors here have moved like seven times.
Gotcha.
Okay. We've had as many years we've lived here. There's been almost double that amount in neighbors.
Really?
Okay. Classy neighborhood.
Well,
it's all rental property.
Yeah,
it's all rental.
I thought you said it was rectal property.
It's like, all rectal property.
Well, there's that too. Yeah.
It can be both.
That's why they have the old folks' home.
Treeless suburban wasteland. Yeah.
I got a parking ticket here one time.
Did you really?
Okay, so it was one of the first times when we first started recording, and it was winter out, and there was snow.
Alternate side parking.
Well, it wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't actually that. I parked in front of the fire hydrant because it was under snow, and I didn't know. I didn't get a ticket for opposite side parking. I got a ticket for parking in front of a fire hydrant
that was buried in snow.
Was there?
Okay, that's funny.
And then didn't you get a ticket because your license plates were out of?
I got a warning because my license plates were out of date. I was able to contest that one. I just hadn't put the stickers on. But
what's the address here?
This
Pittsburgh?
Your stickers were like 2 years Madison. Out of date.
They were very out of date, but I had the new ones at home somewhere.
It's like when I got a ticket because my license had expired on my birthday the previous year.
Ooh. Yeah, not a lot of chalking your ass out of that one.
No.
Well, sometimes you just
it was like a week after my birthday. He's like, your license expired. I'm like, oh, my birthday. Oh, 2010.
When I had moved to Arizona back in 97, when I left here, my plates were expired by a year. So I lived in Arizona. My plates were I was over 2.5 years. My plates being expired. I had out of place. I never got a new license. So a cop pulled me over for something, and it was like I had $1,000 in fines. But because I took care of it all in like one day, I was only charged me like $200. But I got like
wow, not bad.
Living without an out-of-state license.
He gave you like eight tickets. And
it was literally eight.
4 years before I got in-state license plates.
But the thing is, I had the out-of-state license plates, but they were also expired, and my license, that's everything was just
bananas.
Awful.
$1,000 for the tickets. Holy shit!
And speaking of re-upping your license plate every year, whatever the term that my brain won't grab is, that sticker goes on top of the old... Yes, renewing. The sticker goes on top of the old sticker.
Correct.
Yeah.
If you can see 10 different years' worth of stickers on your car, kill yourself.
Right. Yeah.
I don't want you on my planet.
I was behind someone the other day that had it like that. It was like they went around the outside of the...
Oh, look, you can see all your... Go fuck yourself. Like, no, they go on top of each other.
Yeah.
Has anyone gotten the mail about the frightening new federal ID?
What?
I just got my, in the past 4 months, I got a letter in the mail saying, hey, your driver's license is about to expire. Go re-up that shit. Hey, by the way, it's not going to happen tomorrow, but sometime in the next 3 years, you will be required to have a federal ID in order to board any flight and go in. I shit you not,
isn't
Jeremy, this
heard anything.
I pay attention to current events. I seriously.
I've heard nothing about
this. No, this blew me the fuck away.
Isn't that surprising, Jeremy?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Isn't that called a social security number?
This one is different. And so bottom line, they said when you go get your driver's license, you are not required to do this. But if you want, do it now because it's going to save you hassle down the line. Take care of it now. And yeah, this is supposedly there was one other thing in addition to entering an airport. I think federal buildings. For example, not most libraries, but quite a few are like federal depository libraries.
Yep.
Any citizen can go in. But yeah, now they are requiring this special bonus ID.
Weird.
Yeah, it was odd.
What about like the Capitol building? Or would you have to have one to go in there?
You know what? I mean,
that's
you know what? That's exactly.
That's a state building. That's correct. Not federal.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm wondering if
the question is how many states are going to adopt the
right.
Same.
Well, I don't like that at all.
It was jarring.
That's see, I frighteningly feel like
they
Big
slipped
Brother.
That yeah. in somewhere. Who was watch? Somebody was supposed to be watching for that. No.
Who was on the wall that day?
Yeah.
Oh no.
I blame John.
Yeah.
Snow. John Snow. He was on the wall.
I get it. I get it.
Hey.
Hey, John Snow's on the wall.
Spoilers.
I know. Some spoilers. I know.
Have you finished book five?
No.
He's read none of the books.
He's read zero books.
You can't bring up anything.
Okay, no, fair enough. Yeah.
I was
a dick about the show with Walter White, too. I would walk into Pegasus and say, please don't talk about it. And I finally have finished that. So
well, it's not being a dick. I guess it is. It's...
I really hope we have a Zappity Grumble question with spoilers.
The show, no, actually, we had a Zappity Grumble where the guy, he apologizes, like, my bad, I thought Andy had read
those
books.
Oh, did he? That's good. Yeah. Yeah, that is a dick move.
When did he? Yeah, I didn't see him apologize.
Today's Zappity Grumble thread, the guy's like, sorry, Andy.
Oh, okay. That's
I thought you'd read him.
That's classy.
Well, no, the thing is, though, Brian then posted something in a link that where I was brought into. Somebody was talking about Super.
The book and the show are different?
No. Because
those are jokes.
No, that's something I knew Nathan wouldn't do. No, but somebody posted about Father Lucant being horrible to assemble. Mm. And then I think either you maybe posted or maybe somebody posted my name into it saying, hey, just get Andy Welton to do it.
Mm.
And then since I got drug into that thing, then Mr. Ruffles decided, like, hey, Ruffles. Does anybody have any good Game of Thrones spoilers? Right in the middle of that thread, so I'm like, son of a fucking bitch.
Jesus.
I'm
treating that as if the books don't exist as far as how I'm doing spoilers. Like, it followed standard first-run TV rules, okay. Because such a large group of people have not read the
true.
Books.
They're, my two coworkers haven't read it, but they're the only other two people who watch it, and it's driving me nuts because I can't discuss it with them at all.
Yeah,
because the thing is, if you've read the books, anything you want to talk about the show,
right.
Like, you can't have a conversation having read the books without spoiling things,
right?
Because you have to be super careful.
Because you have to be super careful.
Because I'm like, so
have you got
such and such?
Right.
How many Starks are there right now?
What do you mean?
Yeah,
you know, and then sometimes, like, when you're feeling around for that, like, if you haven't watched Stone, you have read the books, or if you're
a couple
levels behind,
exploded yet? I forgot. Has that happened yet?
Yeah. And then if you start probing too much in one area, it hints off that there are spoilers right. there, you know, right. and you're like, so, yeah.
Well, and then they were like, yeah, I don't know why they don't have, oh, crap, Andy, you're ruining this for me.
Yeah, no, but, people are watching the show will put out theories or guesses, and they're like, I'm guessing, blah, and you have to maintain
right.
a neutral face. You have to totally poker face.
Yeah,
you know?
Because
you
can't sure we have listeners who haven't watched Rat. We have listeners that haven't
seen
both.
Yeah.
I mean, I
of our 10 listeners, probably two or three.
Two or three of our 10. Well, we're up to 10. It's amazing. I think I'm to the point, though, that I don't want to read the books because I don't want to. I want to see how it unveils on the television show before I read the books.
The problem with that, and I generally, that's the principle I follow with movies and stuff. The problem with that's going to be is they've literally said that the show is going to go at least two seasons per book.
Right.
They've just said that's their plan.
Actually, that's not true.
I think it is.
No, they said they're going to go. They want to go only a total of 7 or 8 seasons total.
What?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Really? That's not the last thing I heard.
Well, you don't really.
I read some things.
Yeah, you're not being current isn't the most shocking thing. But that's like they had interviews with them recently. The producers.
Plus, I mean, are
there supposed to be two books
things
left?
Like?
Yes,
there are. But keep in mind, like the next two books are concurrent. So even, you know, there's you can't say, like, well, then the next book gets two seasons and the book after gets two seasons because they're the same
books
story.
Books 4 and 5 are not going to be 4 seasons. Book 4 and 5 would be at the most 3 season each because I would say, I bet even 2.
But here's the problem with that is if you're only going to be 8 seasons and there's 2 books left, there's no fucking way George R.R. Martin finishes the last book.
Well, Jeremy, have you seen that they've talked about
he's told them
it's
going to
get lapped.
No, oh, he just said the show's going to beat the book? And
right. No, they have put that on the table, and that they might make a feature
well,
film.
Well, Martin was like, well, maybe we'll do some prequels in some prequel stuff while I write the books. But the thing is,
he'll
be dead before it's done, so it's a moot.
And then the show will just finish it for him.
Yes, exactly. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. And just
he's somewhere right now eating some fatty, cheesy food.
Like, the next two books are...
George Martin bought a movie theater, and all his blog is about is how he's getting actors to come to his movie theater, and every weekend he shows some new movie, which is cool. I mean, well, I'm sure if I was rich, having a movie theater and having people come would be a cool thing to do, but that's all he fucking does now. And as soon as football season starts up, he doesn't fucking write because all he's doing is talking about football constantly.
Didn't know that. Carnage, you need to send him another package.
Oh, the next package I sent him would be his own head.
Did you really send him a misery package?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, it's awesome. Jesus.
So the reason why is because if I compare it to my experience with Harry Potter. I didn't read the books for Harry Potter, but I feel like if I read the books before I saw the movies, I would have been disappointed. Because
And I've said this before, I don't like to be rude to you, but that's the dumbest thing you can say.
I was going
to
say, Andy, why? What's the rationale? I want to hear. I'm curious.
The twist that happens at the very end of it.
What twist? Know, they all live happily ever after. If someone doesn't know the end of the Harry Potter series by now.
There's more specific things, like the fact that Harry doesn't kill Voldemort. Mm-hmm. Somebody else does.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's a thing. Well, is that
the main thing that I cared about was Snape.
Yeah. Oh, right.
And imagine the books. Character. He's so much fleshed out. He's
exactly.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Experience. If I would have seen it was
but
glorious
you can see
scene.
All the clues that come along, and you can see why, like, it's a different kind of read because you can see all their because you know their motives and their true alignings, like you can see why they're doing the
right. But I understand what Andy's saying. The point is, if Andy's going to watch the movies anyway or watch the show anyway. He wants, and it's a different mindset. So I can understand that to some of these people it sounds weird. But radical. If he's going to be watching the show anyway, he wants the show to be fresh and unspoiled for him. And reading the books is just like it. In a way, it's just the biggest possible way to get quote unquote spoilers
like
for the TV show he's watching. He's watching the TV show, and the book would spoil the show for him. It's not that hey, the books are better. Watch the books, and then the show's a nice add-on, which is how it is for the rest of
us.
But here's my problem is, okay, so let's use the Harry Potter analogy. You're watching the movies are not yet done, and then the next to last book, The Half-Blood Prince, comes out, and all of a sudden, Snape kills Dumbledore is every fucking where on the internet, all right? So somewhere in the next 8 seasons, George R. R. Martin's going to come out with his final book, because God help us, he's going to write at least one more.
Right.
Fucker needs to. Right. Anyway, he's going to write one more book. Let's say that happens 2 seasons down the road, so it'll still be before the show catches up. That book's going to come out, and there's going to be, you know, something. There's going to be at least one thing that's going to be the Snape kills Dumbledore of that book, and it's going to be everywhere. Yeah. You're not going to be able to get on a bus without seeing it.
Oh, I know. That was fine with me, but I would have been – it would not have been a cool to me, I guess, if I knew that Snape was a good guy the entire time.
At this point, Andy is he is invested in the show.
As opposed
and they
to
are two different things.
Yeah,
no,
and
that's
so
fair enough. Yeah.
That's what it is, and that's where he's come from. He's invested in the show, and reading the books would spoil the show for him.
And
I know that sounds backwards to the rest of us.
Well, not even necessarily. My thing is really something's going to be spoiled when the new book comes out.
Oh, yeah.
And as long as you're okay with one or two big, giant spoilers...
It's going to happen, I know that.
Then you're fine. Because you literally won't be able to avoid it. Like, you couldn't have avoided Snape Kills Dumbledore. A month after that book came out, you couldn't have avoided it.
Yeah, it was just people would just post it in like anything.
Yeah,
it was a thing.
Yeah, it was just a thing. And George R. R. Martin's going to be at least that bad because it's just as well known. Only it's more targeted at adults, and adults are jackasses on the internet.
Yeah.
So
I will say, and if I started watching a TV show, and I'd say I was 2 seasons of something, and I didn't realize it was based on a book, and then I knew a book series, I would avoid the books until I finished the show.
Once you're committed to it.
Once I'm in one version or the other. But I think I definitely see that logic because you don't want to be reading two mediums at the same time because then you are getting
– It's super confusing.
Different. Any book series, any TV show has plot things that go different directions because you have to –
because
TV has to go different and so you get these things. But it's like I just think if I'm going to read a series – if I have to choose TV or book, I'm always going to choose a book because like this the way the detail – it's like the 4th Harry Potter book. In my opinion, a great book, but the movie drives me nuts because it's like it cuts so much.
Well, they cut out half of that book.
They
cut out the wrong stuff.
Favorite book, and then the movie was just terrible comparison.
And if you never read the book, you don't know that,
right?
So,
and it is
kind of like flip side is damn it. Whichever one where all he does is whine for the entire
book 5,
one.
I hated that fucking book because he's a whiny teenager.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's
to her writing.
It's a super accurate thing where it's just a teenager being annoying and emo and shitty for...
Is that the one with Umbridge?
Maybe.
I think so.
I hated Umbridge.
But the point is, it's like a million pages, and so I like the movie. That's one of my favorite movies in the series because it's a lot easier to tolerate that in 2 hours than it is in 1,000 pages.
I will agree, though, that
you like the Catching Fire ones better.
Yeah, the Hunger Games. Like, I've said this about the Hunger Games. I've read the books. I enjoyed the books. The Hunger Games are so much better as a movie because
haven't seen the films. Are they good?
The worst thing about the Hunger Games books is you read them.
I read the books, but
is it being in her fucking head, listening to her be a whiny, stupid ass bitch?
Katniss is the worst character in the world.
Katniss is a great character from the outside, but from inside of her head, she's a horrible place to live, and. It's miserable in the books. Like, the books are great, and you're experiencing this great brook through this, like, dingy, muddy lens. Well, and then you see the movie, and you're like, that's fucking A. Because, like, you can, like, knowing a little bit about what Katniss may be thinking is great and all, but fuck it. I just want to see Katniss do amazing, awesome, super cool things without bitching about it.
It makes sense that she would bitch about it, because she is a teenager.
She is a teenager.
Right, but still, it wears on you. Like, say, book five, just fucking shut up, you whiny little fucker.
Yes.
And even when I read it, I'm like, man, this author is really good. I hate this character, but he's a teenager. Okay, I get where it's coming from.
Yeah, absolutely.
Man, he should just shut the fuck up and move on.
Right.
Yeah, and it's the same thing when you're reading the books or watching the show, actually, with, Ned Stark's wife.
Catelyn.
Caitlin.
I hate that
bitch.
Yeah. Yep.
She's not just a plot device, because he doesn't write her as a plot device.
Oh, yeah.
He writes her as a person who makes truly horrible decisions for reasons that she thinks are right. Now.
Yep. Absolutely. Yep.
Like, she really does.
Show, she's just a plot device who everyone still hates. I'd like to point out. Like, she's just not like.
But in the show, she's less hateable because.
In the books and it's in the show, the instant she turns to Jon Snow when she's sitting over Bran, she turns to him and says, it should have been you. You're like, oh, okay, so I fucking hate you. So ugly. I'm just going to chalk you up to hateable. You're going to be on that side. Good to know.
She is horrible. But
and she never earns her way back over.
You don't have to experience her point of view chapters in the show. Ever. Thank God.
It is a testament. This is, and I've told this anecdote before, but with the way that the point of view chapters work in the Game of Thrones books, I love that Jaime in the first book, you don't see – he's not a point of view character. Right. You see him from the outside, and you're like, that guy's a monster. That guy is a sister fucking child attempted murdering, just son of a bitch, Kingslayer bastard. Fuck that guy.
Yep.
And then in book two, he becomes a point of view character, and all the stuff, you know, it's happened in the show, just like in the show, you actually start to like the guy. Favorite you're like, character. Oh, you see stuff from his point of view. Our buddy Jim would tell people who were in the first book, they're like, who's your favorite character? He's like, I like Jaime. And they thought he was joking.
Yeah, they thought it was a joke.
Dead serious.
But then, like, in book three or whatever, then Cersei becomes a point of view character, and you're like, oh, or whichever. In some books, Cersei becomes a point of view character. You're like, oh, no, George, don't do it again. Don't make you don't like her. No, she stays this detestable monster.
She's horrible.
Yep. It's just great to see her from the inside because all her terrible decisions, you get to hear her logic behind them, and it's terrible, terrible logic.
It's terrible. It's followable.
I almost think that's the reason there was so much outrage about the Cersei-Jaime scene last week is because everyone, like, Jaime was so redeemed, and then he raped somebody. Like,
same thing when he strangled his cousin in whatever season. It's like, that didn't happen in the book, and it pissed me off because, I like his redemption
because
stuff.
Jaime just becomes totally redeemed. Like, he becomes 100% good.
Absolutely. There was a lot of articles on that. One of the articles that summarized the director's opinion, because the director in the director's mind, it wasn't really rape. It was more consensual, like rough sex.
He says they're into this kind of thing.
Yeah,
basically.
But the show doesn't. I mean, they didn't convey it.
And who knows? Maybe this week they'll talk about it, and they'll retroactively the two characters will be like, yeah, we're into that, and I know, blah blah blah.
But the funny thing,
you're right, that at the time when you're watching, you're like, oh, he's just raping this woman.
Yeah, because so he interviewed Martin, who said part of the problem with Martin was. In the books, Jaime doesn't show up until after the thing.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the one person made a comic. So Martin was interviewed, the director's interviewed, and the actor playing Jaime was interviewed. But no one interviewed us.
Cersei.
I'm like, that's kind of a...
Yep.
Hey, that's talking about volumes. Last week, I was like, hey, women's rights discussions are great. Yeah. Maybe you shouldn't try and involve a woman.
Yeah. No, they completely left out the women for that one.
Yeah.
All the outrage and never asked her opinion. I thought that was a classic.
I will say, though, watching the television show and then hearing about how the book is slightly different, I am intrigued by that. So it's almost learning, kind of like behind the scenes.
You don't know the Blackfish because he's been in books.
Brendan Tully, the Blackfish.
And a character who's amazing, who's in all the books.
One of my favorite characters.
Right. Yeah, it just doesn't exist in the show.
Yeah.
Oh. Didn't he exist in the show for like 30 seconds?
Nope.
Like,
he
shoots the arrow and he verbally bitch slaps.
So he's in there for a moment.
He's in there for like a scene.
Yeah, but
he bitch slaps Rob, and then the funeral, like the guy misses the boat like 8 times, and he just grabs and kills. You know,
is Caitlin's brother?
Yes,
uncle. Caitlin's uncle.
Yes, it's her dad's brother. Okay. Yes,
yeah.
So he's and he's like a major character. Is he ever point of view?
No,
he's never.
He's never point of view, but he is a major character, and he's just not there.
Like, I was so excited when they had, like, it was clearly him on that one scene. Yeah. And I was like, oh, yes, the blackfish. And then he shot the arrow. I was like, yes, the blackfish. And then he never came back.
The first time you see him is book one when they go to the Erie. He hangs out in the Erie. He's not even there. There's little things like that. And, you know.
I will change this, though. Mm. And this is, I did see our Zappity Crumbles tonight because I am the one who tweeted it. Ooh. I saw one of them, though, but I will make an attempt. I've tried many times. I will make an attempt to read The Dark Tower. So that'll be my next thing I try. I heard it goes good, and then the ending is kind of.
I didn't read the last three books because the way he wrote the first four books is he. Normally, Stephen King treats writing like a job. He sits down for 40 hours a week in front of his typewriter computer, depending on what era of his life you're talking about, and he writes as a 9-to-5, 5-day-a-week shift. And either he sits there, nothing happens, or he writes, and that's fine. That's how he treats it. But the Dark Tower books, famously, he didn't consciously write. Like, the first line, like, the man in the black fled across the desert and the gunslinger followed him. Like, he was just, like, eating, and that, like, sentence came to him, and he just wrote it down. And the whole book was written down. Like, the first book, you don't find out the main character's name until 2/3 of the way through, and that's because he didn't know. Because the book hadn't told him yet what it was. So the books were written very, very differently from how he normally writes. And then the last three books he wrote as standard Stephen King books because people were like, you need to finish this series. So he sat down and 9-to-5'd them.
Well, it was because he was
recuperating from the accident.
Well, he had an accident. Plus, because he treated it that way, there would be you'd go many. He was longer than Martin in between books.
Yeah,
but it wasn't. But that was just the way he treated those.
But there's a weird organic nature to him because of that. Mm-hmm. Because they were in a certain sense of you writing themselves from his subconscious. Yeah. They're different. And so I actually, in all fairness, I don't know if the last three books are good or bad because I never bothered to read them.
Public service announcement. Take his advice. The one thing that I credit him, the last three books, they had some okay moments, but eh. He did this, I think I got to be a rare case, at the behest of his fans. So you'll get to a point where there's about an inch left in the last book, and he essentially says, I'm done now. I'm done telling the story that the voices in my head have told me I need to say. I know that a lot of people are going to be dissatisfied with this. And so I'm going to go ahead and write another 70 pages. I can't say strongly enough, don't read those 70 pages. Just don't do it because you think you're dissatisfied now, you're really going to be dissatisfied then. Just don't do it. Stop here.
I came home from work one day and Raylene was really, really angry. Yeah. And that was because she hadn't read those last 70 pages. She was like, oh my God, blah, 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 just throwing stuff around. Right.
So I don't mind the very last couple sentences of the book, but it gets a lot.
Yeah, How I Met Your Mother kind of thing to it. Where so the best you're like, of
all
what?
No, well, honestly, what I can say, the best of all worlds, stop reading when he tells you to stop reading. Absorb it. That's your experience. Wait 6 months. And then if you really can't, go without it, read it later. Yeah, out of curiosity, read it. And then the damage, because it is kind of shitty, isn't as bad because you've already absorbed the real ending.
And treat it like watching the alternate ending that wasn't used like on a DVD like 6 months after you see it in the theater. You're like, oh, that was the alternate ending. That's kind
of
neat.
And he built up some of the villains too strong. He didn't really know how to deliver it. Like, Crimson King is talked about all the time.
So disappointing.
They cut off where it should have ended.
Yeah.
Right. Wolves of the Kai, I'll say book 5, again, a good one. Not as good as the first four, but all right.
Well, book 4 ended such a... You needed to read book 5 because book 4 is such a cliffhanger.
Right.
On a fucking train.
Yeah.
An out-of-control monorail that's giving them riddles. If they don't answer the riddles, it's going to crash them.
The backstory is always just so rewarding. Oh, book 4 is amazing.
He wrote another book in the series, which is all book backs. He wrote another... The book came out like a year or two ago.
I did read that.
It's pure backstory.
Yeah.
It's
good.
All right, that was
topic. That's my goal.
This is a book podcast now.
That's announcements.
That was a hell of a geek out.
Yeah. That was announcements. Yeah,
nice.
So I guess did you want to talk about terrain this week, Brian?
Yeah.
Let's see what time. What time is it?
It's 7.
We got time.
We can do train zapping. All right.
Yeah.
This is just a small topic. People always talk about terrain and events, and people always bring me up a little bit because I'm known for making some interesting terrain options.
Beautiful
for people.
Terrain.
And I think sometimes people, when I go to events, are like, oh, man, Brian makes crazy terrain. He's coming to my tournament. Let me show you crazy terrain. And they don't realize there's a little bit of a method to the madness when making tough terrain. One thing that I think Nathan's brought up in the past is when you're putting walls out and the kill box is 14 inches, you put a wall just so a person's on the wrong side of the kill box.
13 and a half inches.
Yeah, exactly.
Every time.
So, which is a cool idea to do, but then people hear that and go, well, every single, so it's like you go to a tournament.
It doesn't happen every time. So then, that's the thing.
So,
yep.
So then you go to table, you go to an event and there's 20 tables set up. Every single table has the walls at 13 and a half inches. You have to realize there's moderation.
Yes.
You want a couple tables. That way you want people to feel safe sometimes, but then not other times. Because if they always know that it's not going to be the way, then they're never going to, you know, do certain things.
And the thing is, too, and this actually...
Right section, shut up. I'm talking for a few minutes.
I have a question about that. Oh, go on. Son
of a... Treat it like a Katie's Corner. Let him get it out, and then we can bring up questions.
I hate when he gets it out. I hate when he gets it out.
You love it.
We always...
He's just angry because he has moved on.
That's another topic.
He is another man in his life.
Yeah. Hey, Katie, he chose you over Brian.
I know.
It was
Brian
close.
Brian chose Jordan over him.
That's gonna get you somebody. All right. So another thing, it's always good. You go to some tables, like people at one event I was at were complaining that every table had like a middle open field. People sometimes like don't put anything in the middle. And then people get, well, I'm going to put something in the middle. So then you go to, they have their 20 tables, and there's a forest in the middle of all 20 tables. Which, in theory, sounds so cool. That all makes things interesting, except for factions who don't care about it. So suddenly you've given, like, Legion and Circle, well, even more so Legion, this huge advantage.
And it's not a problem with this advantage on, like five of the 20 tables.
Exactly.
But like you said, it's the consistency that's
the
issue.
Yeah, you got to kind of spread things out a little bit. I mean, you want stuff in the middle. You want some water on, you know, the tables. In my mind, every table should have cover. You want cover on both sides of the table, not symmetrical, but you want, you know, you want to make one side, and you want to make one side slightly more appealing than the other side, but you don't want, and that's an art form,
that's
knowing
hard.
How to make one side just a little bit better than the other side, so people have to choose side, you know.
A big
key, because then there's no advantage to going second.
A big key to the art of film, the easiest way when you're first starting that I've seen is the phrase asymmetrical symmetry. Hmm. Like, the big thing I look for is I try to have cover on both sides, and one of the sides is probably an obstruction, the other side's probably a linear obstacle or two, like making a little bunker. Try to have a +2 defense on both sides, so one side it might be a force, another side it's a hill. So both sides have kind of the same advantage, but in different ways, because then depending on who you are, if you're Legion, you're like, oh, I'll take that side with the, or if you're Circle, you're like, I'll take that side with the forest, and if you're Legion, you're like, I'll take the side with the hill, because if my opponent gets the hill, they have +2 against me, but if I give them the forest, they don't have it, even though my path, and my Pathfinder, blah, 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 you know, so you can put some thought into it, but, and the end of the day, the sides, neither side is like Fort Awesome and the other side is just a parking lot of death.
And that is something that you do see, that a TO that's trying to be asymmetrical will often create a side of the table that's just, so this side wins.
Yeah.
Like, you see that. You go to a tournament and you're like, well, let's roll. Okay, I won. I'll go second on this side. Mm-hmm. And I win the game.
Yeah.
Like, and honestly, a wall that's 14 and a half inches up is one of the, like, it's not quite a gimme, but that's amazing in a kill box.
But it depends on the other side.
It
you
does.
Know what I mean? Like, it does.
It's when it's 14 and a half inches four and it just clips the scenarios on that makes it.
That's where it's
almost too powerful. It's like when you're putting zones up, you almost have to go, okay. Because, when you're just in a kill box and you're just towing in that zone, that's when that person gets usually a huge advantage.
That's a problem.
Games.
I like putting the wall so it covers the edge of the zone. So
yeah, it's fine.
You could be behind the wall, but you're not going to be in the zone.
And I've, like, at events, I've walked past and seen tables where there's the zone and then a 32nd of an inch of it is sticking out past the wall. And it's like, oh, so your caster just gets to dominate from that exact spot.
Yeah.
Trick is your opponent, depending on your opponent's list, so if they have a good assassination list, they know where you're going. So if they can get, like, a Tom Gwan would love to see his opponent do that, because Tom Gwan, all he thinks about the assassination, and if he knows it's set up where the caster is going, he sets up every single vector based on that. So there's sometimes there's a disadvantage, but a lot of casters can mitigate it. But I mean, there is that element a little bit.
There.
But yeah, no, it's just a matter of putting, and you, I don't know, it's a challenge putting down terrain, but I just see people so often just, they go at extremes for all the tables, or they go too light on all the tables. It's just a matter of just working it out and figuring out, you know, because you want a little bit of everything, and sometimes just like obstructions or just like little tower pieces are neat, and people need to, and sometimes you go to an event, and sometimes it's the store's fault where they have more 40K players, so all their terrain is like 8x10 terrain, and that gets, that's atrocious for War Machine, instead of, because you really want the 4x6-ish dimensions and some angle for War Machine terrain, and it just gets frustrating. Because I know there's a Springfield store, that store makes Adepticon's tournament terrain for Warhammer.
Yeah.
So they obviously have just a fuck ton of an amazing Warhammer terrain down there, but when they try to run a War Machine tournament, all their terrain is 8x12 and 18x6. You know, so these are monstrously awesome things that make War Machine awful to play on.
Yeah.
It's not their fault, it's just their store does what it does.
Yeah.
I also in the terms of terrain, I really don't like pre-made boards. Pre-made boards are really awesome to play just in like a one-off play against friends and that, but in a tournament, pre-made boards, they're just I just don't like them.
Pre-made boards are also the biggest home court advantage in the world of War Machine. Because, yeah, like, I went to a tournament that was, like, all pre-made boards one time, and I was like, so all of you that play here know all of the distances between everything without having to measure it at any time?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, it's
kind of... tend to be 90% hills.
Well, they do, because they don't want things that are in the way for zones and stuff, but knowing where everything is...
No, I mean, literally, the boards tend to be very wavy.
I'm aware.
And then they're hard to roll dice, and then they're hard to...
But my point is that the biggest problem for me is the pre-measurement. Between the zone and knowing the distance between the different pre-built terrain, it's just like, you know where everything is on this board.
Seeing people making boards on privateers... on the board making section there, where you're seeing all have tiles set out for everything. It's like, oh, so if I know that tile is 3 inches in width, I can figure out how far away that thing is. And
well, people make those tile boards because a lot of people don't have storage. So, I mean, I understand why they do that. Because, like, Papa Bear makes them as folding tables, which is really cool. Yeah. But, his boards, he gets a ton of press because, A, he makes amazing quality, and, B, he has the tools in the garage and the storage for it where... you know, people just don't have that kind of luxury.
Yeah, no, I agree. And the other thing is that's related to this with the walls and stuff. I saw a thread about this. You're judgy, so maybe you know about this. Mm-hmm. Something about being able to pre-measure whether the walls are in or out of the kill box.
He's only judgy. He's not infernally, though. Maybe we should call Travis up.
I should call Travis. Yeah, by the way, I got my first checking from Travis the other day. Oh, my. I was like, you motherfucker.
I just had to throw that out there with Nathan because I thought it'd be funny.
But anyway, have you guys been talking?
I answered in that thread. Okay. I ruled in the rules form on that. You can if you're playing a game with kill box, the kill box is knowledge up to and including, like, until you start the game. Like, it's you get to know where the kill box is. You can measure the 14 inches on all sides when you're choosing whether you want to go first or second, when you're choosing what side you want. Okay. You get the informed decision. You don't have to just guess where the scenarios
are. But you can't know, like, where terrain is. Like, right. If this is, you know, 15, 16 inches up the table.
No. You get to measure 14 inches on all four sides of the table, you know, and if that happens to reach a wall or if it happens to be a half inch short of a wall, I mean, obviously that's going to be, you know, you can make your information from there. Yeah. But you don't get to measure how far is this flag from this hill, how far, you know, this wall that's literally in the middle of the table, where, you know, which side, you don't get to measure that. You just can measure the kill box.
So this puts me probably firmly on the douchey side of the line, but here's the question. I walk up to a table and I'm like, that wall is like... It's either a tit hair in or a tit hair out of 14 inches. And my opponent's not here yet, and I really want to know, but in case he wins the roll, I don't want him to know that I know which one that wall is. What's the legality of measuring before they get there or not? And like,
he can measure. I don't understand. Like, he can walk up and measure it.
Okay. He can measure it, and you can measure it. So
okay. Yeah. Because I didn't know if that was like being like a little bit too far. Because I mean, that is something that like I want to know. That's information I'm really not in a hurry to share with him.
Yeah. While so we're deciding, this on is something size. I do. And me and Keith did it at Adepticon, and Travis probably like, what the fuck? But we'll set up a table, and our opponents will be there. We'll look at the table and go, you know what, this terrain's stupid, and they'll go, it is, and we just rearrange a terrain. Well, sometimes it's like it's late in the day, and it's like suddenly every piece of terrain's an inch apart in the middle. And
yeah, just
like,
that happens.
And you look around, and Travis is in the middle. Some people are having a thing going on, so it's like, well, let's just move it in. Like, if all four, you know, if the people don't, you know, agree, because I will say, because Jim lost a tournament once because he was in the finals, but for whatever reason, a bunch of buildings got shoved together, so he like 70% of the board was like just a house pumped up to a forest, bumped up to some like a big obstruction, and then he was playing Egaspi, so the other part was just cloud. So he sat down, his opponent did cloud, and the rest of the board was all, he's like, oh, I guess you wanted to stop playing. He's like, you know, this is dumb.
Well, didn't it happen with Jim, too, where the scenario was remeasured halfway through the...
That wasn't Jim. Was that you guys?
That was me and Brimmer at a team tournament.
Man, that is if someone's like, we're going to read just the zones now through a game, I would be like, no you're not.
Yeah. Now it's in Steamroller. Like, you play them as they lie for the remainder of the game. But
I've had that happen to me too, where I thought I was contesting something and it was like, no, but we just remeasured this and you're 5 inches out now. I'm like, oh, really?
My favorite is when you sit down, like you're saying, late in the day, and the table next to you has no terrain on it, and for some reason all of its terrain is migrated onto your table. Yeah. So now you have like 8 pieces of terrain, and that one has like a hill.
Nathan, or the flip side, where the TO puts you on a board where it has no terrain because it's all been used for other tables, and he didn't expect to actually use that table, but he forgot that when he put that there. And then you're up against Kara Sloan. Thanks, Rick.
One thing, Kara Sloan with no terrain.
Yeah, it was literally just a problem. Like, the 8 inches diagonal in from each corner was like an obstruction, like 4 of the 1,000 needle spires. The rest of the table was just empty because he literally had just stripped all the terrain to use on other tables because he had fewer people than he thought he had. So he was able to make more terrain heavy on the tables he wanted to use. But he forgot that he wasn't supposed to use that table. So he put me and Jeff on that table. And it was really bad for me.
Oh, but Kara Sloan did really well.
Oh, my God. Did she just annihilate me? Like, it was just like so bad. Just charge of the light brigade.
So my one last thought with 3 and 2 is, I mean, you want to have a good amount of terrain. Obviously, you want to have, you know, 5 to 7 pieces or whatever, 4 to 6, whatever the recommended is. But yeah, I think also when you set up terrain, you have to realize, okay, you set it up, you want to make sure things are 3 inches apart because it's in the rules, plus it just looks better. Then you have to kind of think to yourself, okay, a lot of casters can put down walls and other kind of things, and you have to kind of visualize in your head. If I put too many walls on one side of the board, and suddenly there's a guy who can make like 2 walls, and suddenly, like, am I making it too unfair?
Like,
so you have to kind of imagine, like, you know, can also, you have to, I don't like to do it, but you have to make sure you give Colossus a little bit of room. Although that's not in the rules, so I'm still against the people always complain, like, well, there's no room for Colossus. I'm like, that's just too bad.
You chose, like, that model.
That's your fault.
And my problem. Honestly, I don't think there's anything wrong with an obstruction or a wall or something that's middle of the table that makes that Colossal pick a side.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I don't think you want it on every table. I think that's unfair to people that play Colossal Gargantuan. But some of the tables having that, I mean, that's a legitimate strategic, absolutely. Well, now I'm going to go second and make you and your Colossal pick which side of the table it goes to. Yeah.
Just in, like, war, you can't drive tanks everywhere.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Right. But the flip side is you can't have an obstruction every 4.5 inches going straight across. Exactly. Like, you know, there has to be some place for them to go.
Well, we set up 1,000 needles board, and people tweeted, like, well, where the Colossals go. We're like, well, we pre-measured. There was, like, 80% of the board Colossals could go through. There were a few paths they couldn't go, but that was, you know.
And it was awkward for them to maneuver, but in a situation like that, I mean, sometimes that happens.
And hilariously, neither of us played a huge base, so it didn't matter.
Yeah, it didn't matter.
But people were upset about it.
Also, tangential terrain-based thing is Privateer Press is really pushing their trenches right now.
Yeah.
Like, they had them all over the place at Adepticon. I don't think there's a pattern that's going to stop. So if you're interested in playing in Privateer Press things moving forward, start practicing with trenches, or at least be familiar with the rules.
Yeah, P.S. Yes. A lot of people at Adepticon
didn't know. If you're in them, you have cover, and you're immune to blast damage as long as the center point of the AoE is not also in the trench.
And one point I'll say, because a lot of
people... The edges are not a linear obstacle. You can charge into and out of them.
But what a lot of people missed, and you just didn't explain it either, is
you
fully in the trench.
Yes.
I had three different people lose their shit. I mean, they were nice about it, but get really upset because they had their model partly in the trench. JR was really nice, or Alex Schaefer was really nice about it. He almost lost the game because of it. Because he fully put a model in the trench, expecting to get cover, but he was half in the trench.
Yeah.
He had plenty of movement to get all the way in.
Close your eyes and envision a trench for me, Jeremy.
I'm aware.
Imagine you're standing next to it with one of your feet dangling inside the trench. Do you think you're protected from snipers?
Well, that foot should be.
Okay.
If you have your head in the trench, that's the important part.
Yeah, you just, like, you're like an ostrich. You just put your head under the lip, and then your whole ass is just facing up on ground
floor.
That's
partial Aztec.
Yeah.
The trenches that Privateer Press made were, I've always liked the idea of trenches, and I have never, I think, like, that's where you're talking about, I think custom boards with trenches were usually the best boards with trenches, because normally you build a trench and they get these huge lips and it's awkward, but they made the best trenches.
Theirs were usable. They were shockingly good trenches.
Yeah, actually, one of my early projects are going to be to make some trenches like that.
Normally, you're right. Normally they're like 2 doorstops with a plank in between them. It's like this super steep wedge, and so nobody can use them, but theirs were tall enough that you could visualize the edge, but thin enough that the slope, like,
they were no more than a half an inch height.
Yeah, exactly.
But
they were so amazing. Well. Amazing looking model.
They were really good. And they looked good.
Yeah. They used a lot of, like, bits from random troopers and that, threw it in the trench. It was really good. I liked them a lot.
Yeah. Very cool. But anyway, that is something to be aware of. It's by the rules, you have to be all the way in the trench template.
Yeah.
But yeah. Good job, everybody.
Yay, great job,
the chores. That's terrain.
Terrain.
That's what grinded my gears.
Well, then I think we're on to Zoobity Goobles.
Zoobity Goobles?
Flippity Boop?
No Flippity Boop.
John stole Flippity Bloop from us.
How dare he?
Well, he's the one who brought it up on our
podcast. I thought it was Nigel, wasn't it?
I don't know. It was something crippled.
Musing.
All right. Are we ready for these? Does anybody else have anything before we go? Do you have a corner, Katie?
Oh, no.
Okay. No. All right. How do you start factions on a budget?
Slowly. Slowly.
I think if you've already played and you're getting into a new faction on a budget, pick a 50-point list or two 50-point lists and buy just the models for that. If you're a brand new player, quite frankly, I don't know, outside of having your friends tell you what two lists to buy, which would chafe me personally.
I liked what you guys did. You and Jordan bought a bunch of bases, and you colored them different colors, and you put paper clips with the cards in them, and then you proxied everything.
Yeah, we bought a faction deck, and literally just...
Not a bad idea, to be honest.
It cost us, you know, a faction deck plus three boxes of small bases, two boxes of medium bases, and a box of large bases, and that was how we decided which factions we wanted to play, too.
Mm. Yeah, because that way you can make more of an informed decision, and I don't think that anyone is going to be like, well, no, I'm not going to play with you if you're trying to get into the game.
Yeah.
Like, if they did it for 2 months, maybe, but if they did it for a week or two, I think that would be fine.
Yeah.
Choosing a faction, choose a faction that you like the look of.
Yes, that's what I did.
You're going to be staring at them forever.
Yep.
My choices have always been based on a look.
Yeah.
Yep.
The Slayer.
They're all viable enough that you know, if you choose one you want to play, you'll be able to play it.
On the other hand, you know, there's something to be said. When we got in the game 2004, a friend of ours chose Kador. And for 40K, he had played Eldar, you know, the lithe lightning strikes. And he was real disappointed a year in to learn that his was the faction without fucking Arc Nodes. So there's something to be said for maybe doing a little bit of playtest.
Research and the look is really the biggest thing.
Because I made my complete decision off of a poster.
Yep.
She did. While it worked out well, you know, it can have the opposite effect.
You can also, financial-wise, you can also try to pick up something used. Barter Town or somebody local would be like, hey, I'm selling all my Crips for 50% retail.
Game
who wants
stores
it?
always have a
consignment section.
Or a bargain bin section. You can get some models, collection going.
All good ideas?
Yes.
Anybody else?
No.
Zappity?
Bravo.
Boogly.
Will has Jeremy's secret be revealed? It's not a very good sentence, Dan. That's this local, our local Dan Wasmer. Grammar fail.
You is walking down Ling Hellway.
And no, Will is not my secret. Zappity.
What? Has anybody gone too far as to... Oh, never mind. Getting into meme territory there.
Everybody knows what Jeremy's secret is that came to my parties. If you didn't come to my party, that's shame on you.
Damn it.
Yeah,
that's true.
So actually, that's probably an invitation to everybody else to come to Katie's party so you can find out.
Yeah. Professor Lust was at that party, and he did not get the secret because he was busy.
He was busy.
Was he getting busy?
No. He was indisposed at the time.
Him and Newbie both got just obliterated at that party. I don't think Newbie knows either because he was obliterated.
Well, everyone who knows their drinking limit.
And he's a big fella. He should be able to absorb a lot of booze, you'd think.
There's a limit. It's like how rich people go bankrupt.
Wow, geez.
Doesn't matter if you have $10 million if you spend $11 million. Yeah. You know what I mean?
We'll tell Pip when he comes over, too.
Yeah.
Come visit Pip.
Or alternatively, you could just buy Katie like a drink, and she'll be hammered. And
I'll tell everyone in Perth what it is when I go visit.
There
them.
You go. So sometime in the year 30,000.
Zappity.
Gumball.
Which do you guys prefer, studio paint schemes or personal designs? Personal designs every time.
It depends. Some of the studio schemes are really nice, but I actually don't like seeing like Kador being painted green or something like that.
Mm.
I don't know. It just kind of throws me off.
There are some that are iconic. I will admit that the Kador studio scheme is one of my favorite studio schemes.
Yeah. The primary red?
The primary red. Okay. It looks really good on that.
Signar as well.
And Signar's blue
looks
really good.
I like Menoth as well.
Yeah, Protector.
Menoth, I've seen Menoth that was, like, have you seen I think you and the Beards did the inverted Menoth, the black and red. It was, like, everywhere where it's white, it was black. Maybe it wasn't you guys.
It was the Retribution, probably.
No, you're right also, but there was a Menoth, and that looked gorgeous.
But their, Ret looks terrible.
Was that, agreed. Was that I totally agree. Studio Menoth, Ret is his just old foul. Menoth before it got destroyed?
I don't remember. I really don't remember.
It was a gray.
Like a dark.
It wasn't a red. It was more blues. And
yeah, because it was like an inverted.
Oh, yeah.
But it looked really good.
The Kador Jax studio, it's just a lot of surface area and a lot of red. I've seen a lot of people do just some metallic trims. A little gold goes a long way.
I've seen some really sweet inversed Cator more black than red.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yo, yeah, yeah, like black. I've, you know,
as long as there's thought put behind it, any color scheme can be good.
Yeah. Except the Rhett Studio scheme.
Except agreed. Except the Rhett Studio
scheme. I actually don't care for the Circle Studio scheme.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You don't like green?
I don't like the
There's
green.
A lot of green in
there. The crazy thing about the Rhett Studio scheme, at least, is that it must have taken a really long time to paint
because
it's all just white.
And it's terrible.
Whites are honestly one of the worst colors to paint. And
I wanted
it
to be...
It's done well, but
it is done well. And I wanted it to be the sort of thing where, like, I just hadn't seen it done well in person. No. And I've seen some studio scheme ret that the guys from PP have brought out. Even when it's done really well, I don't like it. Yeah. I just can't
I like it only because I know how hard it is to paint white. I appreciate it because it's just so
there's
hard to
use. There's
a
difference between appreciating it and liking it.
Yeah. It sticks out to you. I don't know. I don't have anything against it.
Does anyone know one of the beards? Is he Mjolnir on the forums? It's got to be years old now. I mean, again, this paint scheme. Did you guys see the volcanic magma circle that he did? Ooh, son of a bitch.
That sounds awesome.
That gorgeous. That was probably around 2008.
Not sure, but I think it was probably Greg.
Black and red. Yeah, it was Greg, and it's just fucking beautiful.
Yeah, I haven't seen them put any circle down in a while. Yeah. But I, you don't know this.
Mm.
I own Matt's red.
Oh, that's some pretty red, too. Not as pretty as my Fianna.
Zappity.
Rumble.
It's the apocalypse. You're making your last stand. Who's the one person you are with, and what songs paying? I assume playing, and what weapon?
I would be with The Rock.
That's a good choice.
That is a good choice.
And he is your weapon.
He is my weapon.
I just saw another trailer for... I saw the trailer for Hercules again today. And, man, the trailer is really good until The Rock speaks.
The song All My Life, when I want to kill people when I hear that. No, I mean, really. I wish I were holding an axe. I call it Viking music. I want to fucking kill other human beings when I hear that.
Immigrant Song.
Yeah, same thing, exactly.
The Immigrant Song is by far the best Led Zeppelin song because it's the only one that isn't 15 minutes of self-indulgent bullshit. Right.
Yeah. And just carving people to pieces.
Yeah, it's just 2 minutes absolutely. Of just shrieking and axes to heads.
That's a song that's playing when Matt, Greg, Jake, and I are all drinking.
Yeah.
That's basically my zombie apocalypse.
I like John Cena because he is unequaled in the number of make-a-wish visits he's given. He's like lapped every other
person on the planet.
I respect the shit out of that. That's a great thing to do.
Katie was the only person at the table who was correct to choose The Rock. Because the thing is, this is apocalypse. You need to repopulate the earth, people.
True.
All you guys are going to pick some big, tough guy. No, I want like Karen Gillan. You know,
Rousey.
I want somebody I can make a new race of people with.
Nathan, you and I are on the same page.
Scarlett Johansson. Scarlett Johansson and I have got this.
It's a sad day for the world.
one of the people that I know on Facebook
would be like, no thanks.
just off herself.
Like Scarlett Johansson's page, and then like posts a bunch of pictures of her. It's very strange to me.
Who did this?
One of the people I know on Facebook.
Weird. Okay. All right. That's a thing.
You can't repopulate the Earth, Jeremy, by just doing it once a month. You really have to.
Well, it depends what time of the month he does it.
Mm.
All right.
That's
it for the Twitters.
Okay.
And then we've got a bunch of Facebook ones. Have you ever, in a game or otherwise, made a mistake that to this day you wish you hadn't made?
We're human beings.
Anytime. I have a lot. They're all locked in a vault, and I can't think about any of it right now, or I'll go into rages. There are at least 6 to 8 things I've done in this game where I wish I could take back.
Like, there's a podcast these days called Forgot to Feet, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, early in the day.
I was going to say, every time I've ever played P-Vale, because I always forget to cast her fucking feet. Like, the last time I played her was at the Cedar Rapids event. Seriously, I went up, I got into him, I killed a heavy, I killed some infantry.
Yeah.
Last time we played her was against me.
Oh, yeah, no, sorry. That one at least I remember defeat.
Yeah.
But this guy, I got into him, he was playing Axis, he had like the counter-charging jacks, and I killed some jacks, and I was looking good, and then I had all I left was a sizing, and I looked down, and I realized I didn't have my feet token on the table. I said, I didn't say feet, did I? He said, nope. And I said, oh, fuck.
I love when your opponent's having such a good day because they thought they feet, and they didn't. It can be dangerous, because at least with the feet tokens, you'd be like, well, did I feet? And they're like, no. Like, well, are you sure? I'm like, yeah, I'm sure, because your activation ended, and as soon as you did, I knew how you were going to die, and you didn't. But,
yeah, and that's what I do with my opponents. My opponents will say feet, and then I said, okay, I throw down my feet token for them if they don't have one, because I'm like, I don't want to, in 10 minutes, say you did not feat.
Right.
I don't want to be that guy. So I just throw down the feat token if you say it, and now we both know you feat it. Excellent.
Yep.
So anyway, I think we've all made. He also asked if I was interested in having a small base model painted by one of you. Which would you recommend, and would that even be a possibility? You don't want me to paint anything ever.
Katie will paint it for you.
I think. They'll paint on it.
Depends on the model. I could paint it.
If you don't need it for the next 3 years, Andy can paint it for you.
My paint schedule is much better than Jim's.
As long as you can stay in Katie's purse for at least a month after it's painted. Gonna fake it up.
The best balance between quality and turnaround time would be Brian.
Yes.
Andy would have the highest quality if you don't need it this year.
Although Brian's scorn does look like shit.
Brian's scorn is just garbage.
It is just the worst.
I do like that you now live with the person who said that.
All part of my plan.
He's playing the long game.
I tested a smoke alarms today, so I know the threshold for them going off.
This piece of lung that's on the table, that's going in his breakfast bowl tomorrow.
Yeah. Hey, Jordan, you want some sausage?
That's his lung, actually.
I should point out that he wasn't joking when he said this piece of lung that he's here on the table.
Yeah, no, there is lung.
There is a piece of lung on the table.
I watch a lot of Hannibal, so I'm getting some lung.
All right.
Zappity.
Rumble.
I need a tangent. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So you mentioned putting down a feat token for my opponent.
Yeah.
One of the best things about the game is people. There's all these tokens now, and Muse sells tokens, and there's all these tokens, and everyone. I don't want to just, show up their tokens.
We love Muse,
but I mean, there's all these widgets. There's always a Kickstarter for some new tool.
Yes.
And it's great when you play a game against someone, because I remember when I first played this game, or even years ago playing other games, you play and you just had to trust a measuring stick. And that's all you had. And it worked, and people were fine with it. But there's always these moments in every... You couldn't go a day without some odd moment. And now it's so hard to... Those moments are so rare now because, A, those moments don't happen that often anyway, those bad, awkward measurements. But now it's like these tools make those rare moments happen even less.
Yes.
But what drives me nuts now is I play against someone occasionally who just doesn't put anything down.
Oh, God. I lose my shit about
that. So now it's so much more awkward to me when I come across a random opponent who just doesn't have anything down. And my turn's over, I'm like, well, do you have any effects? Because I have a bunch. I'm like, you don't have one token on the board. I could call a judge right now and be a super dick against you.
Honestly,
you have,
truly, I've gotten to the point where I won't play that game. I have printed tokens, and I have markerable tokens in my thing for in case my opponent does anything. And they say they cast a spell. I say, okay, where's the token? Oh, I don't have one.
Jeremy, that's
I write
smart.
Something down, I put
no,
it down.
That's just plain smart.
Yeah, I bring extra tokens.
The other flip side of that is, and this is a little bit more nuanced, if you're a newer player, you get a pass. If you're an experienced player and you do this, you're officially an asshole, is know the difference between the upkeep marker that comes from Privateer Press, the non-upkeep marker from Privateer Press, and use them appropriately, because there were a lot of fucking effects that care whether it's an upkeep or not. Like, a lot.
Yeah.
And God damn it, just put the right one down. Like, I'll be playing my opponent, and I'll put the wrong one down, and I'm like...
The one that looks like a snowman is the upkeep.
Yes.
Well, here's the thing. It seems like it'd be easier for them, because I've been in a couple games where the person is like, well, I didn't hear you cast it. And I was like, well, there's my token, so I don't know what to say. Because,
exactly. That solves the problem so much more. And then, too, it's like...
Also, officially, if there's not a token, you don't have the effect. Yep. Spoiler, if the judge is called over, that's what we're ruling.
That's steamroller. Okay.
Yeah, it is.
And it should be.
Most tournament players now know, they kind of know when you're doing an important charge. The first thing they do is they're looking for their proxy bases. They're not even touching their own models when they charge. And so sometimes you have to watch your opponents. Like, if you know you're playing someone you don't know, you're like, is this guy gonna, and you know he's setting up his chance to run at you, and you know he probably doesn't have that line of sight or doesn't have anything. So you have to, like, he's about to, like, move you, like, okay, stop. What are you thinking? I'm going to move the model. Okay, don't touch anything.
Correct.
And let's place it down. But it's frustrating because it still happens enough where people just don't think and they just grab the model, so I charge and they just move their model. Because now the whole thing is over. Right. Now you have to be super dick.
Right.
Yep.
But luckily, that's just, it's dwindling.
It is dwindling.
The catch is it's dwindling, but when it happens, it's almost more annoying because it's rarer now.
It enrages me when people. I have played against so many Colossals, and Colossals are especially bad for this. I've played against a lot of Colossals that have a speed plus 2 buff the whole game.
Right.
Must be a pretty good buff. I would like to have that buff, because it is really fucking hard to measure from behind your Colossal to the right point. But if you're doing an important charge with your Colossal, for the love of God, it's really hard to find a charge lane for those things. It's really hard to get a clear path for them. They're not that fast. Give it 30 seconds. Grab your rec marker.
Right.
The rec marker is the same size. Grab your rec marker. You have to have one if you're playing Colossal. If you're playing a Gargantuan, you're not required to have one, but I have one for you. Put it down where you say you're going, measure along the ground, and then when it's 3 inches further than you can go, it backs up, and that's where you are.
Right. And some people, I will say, some people get like, well, if I put it down there, I just want to go like my full distance, which I'm fine with.
Which is
sometimes
fine.
Because people are afraid they're going to be flans. Because some people, as soon as you put it, like, well, put it down, the second it touches the ground is where it's going. I'm like, well, that's not what I'm trying to do. I agree with you, but I've played some people who, like, as soon as the base touches the mat,
you're there. And I'm like, well, no, I'm going this direction. I'll place it in the lane I'm going, but I'm literally stopping at the exact reach. You know, I'm stopping where I want to stop, but you know, because you have to be kind of sometimes. There's some people that still get a little dickish in that.
There are, and it's. I'm not trying to be an ass. I'm really not. But the game has come to the point where it's a precise game.
Yeah.
It didn't maybe used to be. I don't know because I've only been playing a couple years. But it's become, with the widgets and people using proxy bases, it's become a much more precise game. I like that about it.
If you're not using tokens, I assume you're cheating the entire game. Like, if you win, that's great. I discount the win. In my mind, you can count it however you want.
I have not raged over games over little things.
Well, good for you.
So, Brian, shield wall.
Yeah, shield wall's a thing.
Shield
wall's
a thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, anyway, that's I apologize.
I forgot what this question even was at
We finished it.
That was us painting a small base model. You don't remember that?
Yeah, that was all my fault.
Happy.
Yeah. Would you guys like to see Stephen King's The Dark Tower get an HBO-style adaptation?
I think there's one already in the works.
There's been a movie/miniseries in the works for the last 25 million years. They keep trying to do it.
If so, is anyone you'd like to see cast as the main group?
Yes.
Cool.
What's his face? The guy.
Justin Timberlake?
Detective Bones McDread.
The
guy from Big Bang Theory. He's
Jim Parsons.
Yeah, Jim Parsons. He's won Emmys.
What?
Yeah.
Yes. 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 You know what? Let Jim Parsons be rolling the gunslinger. That's fine. That's fucking fine. I would actually like to see that version of the Dark Tower.
Or Eddie.
I'm shooting my gun, but you ain't called me. Yeah, sure. Fucking make that. Alternately,
directed by Michael Bay.
It already has a Shyamalan ending. Fucking.
So yes, and probably.
I'm too angry. No, what's his name? Dredd McBones.
Yeah, I know. I don't remember the actor's
name. I purposely said it before you guys go in, Nathan, because I knew that was a possible derail Nathan moment. So I said it before he started.
Katie, what's his name?
I have no.
Katie, no actor's name.
I know his name, but I'm not gonna relinquish that information to you.
Thomas Jane.
Tom Jane actually would be awesome.
The Rock.
A Spanish company, I believe it's Teban. They've got their own game. They made a gunslinger figure, and it's fucking gorgeous. And it's from book one, and he's wearing a vest, and he's got a hawk, and I will own it one day because it's gorgeous. That's really cool.
Nathan, don't look it up.
It's killing me.
He's dying.
Who fucking played Dredd?
It's Carl Urban.
Urban. Yes.
With a K.
Well, because he was actually even already the gunslinger in Rango.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Doing a Clint Eastwood impression, but yeah.
Hey, quick trivia. Can you name the movie that... that's a Stephen King film that has a shot of the gunslinger in it.
I tried to get Katie to watch it yesterday, so she'll know what it is.
It's Maximum Overdrive.
That's the first answer. Nope. Maximum Overdrive.
No,
The Mist.
Sure, probably The Mist. Show. Oh, The Mist. Okay,
The Mist. The main character is has a giant. He does movie posters.
Yeah,
and he was painting up the movie poster for The Dark Tower.
That must have been made for TV. I don't think that was.
No, The Mist. The Mist is awesome.
I'm going to get Katie to watch it in the next.
Okay.
Month.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of the ending. That's all I'll say.
Stephen King liked the ending, and that's all I've seen. I mean, because they changed it from the book, and he thought the movie ending was a much better ending.
Huh. Yeah. I liked, but anyway. I liked that movie a lot. I thought it was pretty
We can't obviously eat much.
Zappity?
Grumble.
Never give up.
Never give up. Never surrender. How do you avoid jumping back to an old faction after said faction gets the latest hotness? You don't?
Why would you?
Like, agreed. At the end of the day, play what's fun.
Yep.
And if what's fun is, hey, the new hotness for this faction. Like, if you sold the faction... Then maybe we have a conversation about boundaries and money. But if it's a faction you still own, that gets a new hotness, pick it up, play it. Fuck.
It was kind of annoying jumping back into Mercs. And everybody's into Mercs now.
Yeah, they are.
I sold all my Mercs. No Earthbreaker for me. They're all gone. Awesome. I loved them, but I moved past.
Well, it's too bad you got into a faction that's really not competitive. I heard they really did badly at Kingdom
Hearts. They're
terrible. Yeah.
I wouldn't pick them up.
Jeopardy.
Gumball.
That was weird. Troll champion conversion suggestions so my units and family reunion look unique.
The look up for the guy who won our thing back in the day. They were like Fenblade parts to him or something.
They were amazing. I don't know.
You can go old school troll champions and then use the new ones. That's the two units right there. Yeah. And then, you know, you can have a mixture.
But do you remember the guy who won our
Chris model Suri.
Conversion?
Was really good.
Were they? No, they were Long Riders, weren't they?
No.
They were
Long Rider Axes?
They're There were, I have to look at the models again, but there were a conversion there. I think they were from the Fenblades as well. But
they did look really, really good. Go on our Facebook page, go look from like a year and a half ago and find that picture.
Hello.
What are you doing, Brian?
I don't know.
Brian, you're weird.
Yeah. I was bypassing my Rumble. Filter.
Okay.
Unfiltered Brian.
Yeah. No. OBJ Picknobi says, sorry, Andy, thought you read the books. I realize that's Brian now. My bad. Zappity Grumble. Top three.
I did read.
You're not
unbanned
supposed to
him.
Pre-read these.
No, but I unbanned him.
You unbanned him.
Like I unbanned him like on Monday, I think it was. I realized after, like, oh, that was really, really,
that was really harsh.
Harsh.
Is my lung going to be okay? Is this supposed to be frozen? Is my lung supposed to be frozen?
Frozen dog eats their own shit.
So it's okay. All right.
It's fine.
I mean, it seemed like it was things.
Your lung is salted and everything.
Okay. Sorry.
Hey, if you give Bo something and then he has a tummy ache and doesn't bite you, are you going to be upset?
That's true.
Top three tabletop games for 8 to 10 year olds that I would enjoy too. Well, obviously you have one.
Hey, that's my fish.
Yep.
Yep.
I would say Carcassonne actually is very playable with young kids and is super, super fun.
I would say like something like Smash Up.
Yep. Kids Smash Up's like another good one.
Depending on the kid, like how old are Glenn's daughters?
They're a year older than mine, which means 9.
Yeah, and he played, and he said it was actually a pretty big success. They actually kicked his ass. Like, he thought he was going to have to, like, pull punches, and then they just annihilated him. But he played with them Lords of Waterdeep without the lords.
James told me this. Oh.
And he said it was a really good educational experience for, like, because it's all then is just, like, I need 7 orange. And it's good, you know, like, for the resource. It's all resource gathering and everything like that. And he said Lords of Waterdeep without the lords was actually super. Oh. Good.
And is that in the rules? It's codified. You can play without the lords.
Well,
you can do whatever you want. It's your game.
Wild card, bitches.
And the lords do almost nothing.
Okay.
The lords literally, like, at the end of the game, everybody's going to get probably the same amount of bonus VPs because
if they all play intelligently.
It adjusts your behavior during the game because it makes you want one thing more than I want. You know, I don't know if you've played the game at all.
I haven't.
It's basically like there's like, imagine suits, and it's like you want spades, I want hearts, Jimmy wants diamonds, and that's all it is. The lords tell you what you want to focus on.
And James said just that. Yeah, Lord of the Waterdeep. Okay.
Yeah,
that's very fun.
Forbidden Island. I actually enjoy playing that with my girls.
And it's a co-op game.
Comes in a metal
with,
box.
Lewis's
daughter. I can see that film with kids.
Yeah,
not much with adults, but with kids. Yeah.
It's like, say, it's something to do with your kids.
Oh, yeah. No, I can definitely. Yeah, I can.
Yeah, but to do with a bunch
also,
of adults.
Also, I think once they turn 10, give them Terra Mystica.
Wow. Those are some smart, patient 10-year-olds.
Well, if you trained them on Lords of Waterdeep.
Yeah, that does help.
I'm just saying, with 9, you get Waterdeep. 10, you go over to Terra Mystica. 11, StarCraft.
Nothing personal. That'll be...
kids
no.
will hate you.
No.
I was going to say, Sorrow would be a good game for kids.
Yeah. You know what actually would be legitimately a good game for kids is Raw.
Yeah.
I think it would be, because they're not going to math it out the way adults do.
But they don't
have to. But you don't have to. It's still a fun game without that.
Yeah. It's about reading people. You learn how to read people.
Sure. Nobody else has played this game except for me, I think. But Zombies Keep Out is actually pretty awesome.
No, I played it.
Really?
You do?
Yeah, Zombies Keep Out. And as what I was going to say along with Forbidden Island is co-op. And co-op games are good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Co-op games are good. That's true.
In some pandemic, teach them the world is going to end with disease.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brian's no longer allowed to suggest things for children ever.
Well, that should be a thing.
That should be a thing.
Well, it should prepare them for the upcoming future.
Okay. Yeah.
Exactly.
Marissa is in our houses now.
Crumble. And then Nate, everyone except Andy has read them. Okay. Would any of you ever want to get involved with game design or design your own games? If so, what type of game? This was actually this is a bigger topic, and it's actually one of the topics in our topic contest. So I'm gonna pass it, and we'll talk about whether we decide to do it or not later.
Very good.
This is a complicated. Well, I guess not that bad. If you view politics as having game-like attributes, what would you change about the mechanics of the U.S. system to make it better?
There's a YouTube video out there on this. You should watch it.
That is a good one.
I think they should stop using the Warhammer 1D6 system and go to the 2D6 system with the machine, and politics would be fixed.
I don't know if there's a way to answer that question without getting deeper than we tend to go on this particular podcast.
There's a YouTube video about it, and it's about incentive systems and how they work, and I'm sure that even might be where that's coming from.
Oh, God. It's the stick figure guy. He's done a lot of really, really good videos.
Originally,
Marshall introduced me to him, but I can't remember what the guy's name is.
Once you find it, you can post it in the thread.
Yeah, one of us will post it in the thread.
I will not be doing that.
That'll be me, because I'm always me. Anyway, Zappity?
Sure.
Grubble.
Are there other board game casts you recommend?
Did you open that sandwich baggie? Because I'm all of a sudden smelling those lungs.
I did not open it.
I haven't been able to smell them this whole time, and all of a sudden...
I might have unsealed
it. You did kind of aim it that way, I would say.
Sorry. My lung is getting out. I apologize.
Is it board game cast?
It is really smelly. Board game cast. I love it.
What is a board game cast?
Like a podcast about board games.
Gotcha. It's a video one, but the whatever with Wesley Crusher.
Yes. Tabletop game.
Tabletop with Will Wheaton.
He's more video cast, so I don't think he's got
it. But I think it's a very good
video one.
I think there's some stuff on Nerdist maybe that has some podcasts. I don't listen to board game podcasts, so.
If I was going to pick something to watch, it would be 100% Tabletop Games with Will Wheaton.
Yeah. He just finished season two, though, so he's in between seasons right now.
Well, but if you've never seen it, then go watch two seasons worth.
And he has like 20-some episodes up right now.
Yeah.
They're really, really good.
Yeah, I don't know if any audio ones.
They get the rules wrong.
They do, but they...
But it's a good introduction to the game and what it's trying to do.
Yeah, correct. You know, like when he did Fortune and Glory, he started the video. He's like, by the way, guys, we did this game 4 months ago. Because they record early, then they take time to edit them. He's like, yeah, we may have done all the rules wrong, but we're not going to change it. So just watch it, and you'll get the feel of the game from this video, but you do not write down the rules because we don't play it right.
Brian, that's the Flying Frog one that I want.
Yes.
That's so good.
We'll try to find some day you know what? Free
Actually,
play with you.
Call back to previous question. I think Fortune and Glory you could legitimately play with kids if you always played co-op.
You know, my girls and I busted out Touch of Evil the other day because before I do it with friends, I want to do a dry run playthrough. And they mostly kept with it.
Because it's a co-op game. Co-op games are good. Yeah. Good.
It's been Gears of War too, because it's about war.
Well, yeah.
Anyone else on the board game cast?
That stuff stinks.
who knew?
All of a sudden, Loki came into the room and is like all excited. So I don't know if Loki could just smell the lungs.
Yeah. Oh, they'll love it.
Yeah. Loki's nestling up against my feet.
Loki's been leaning into me for the last couple weeks. Zappity?
Yeah. So,
what was that question?
Who was it?
What was that last question?
What board game podcasts? And the answer is we don't know of any, but tabletop.
Oh. You know, I wonder if the Miami guys have their own. The Miami guys have to have their own podcast. I can't think of it. They do, is it Tower?
What, Tower Games?
No, there's a podcast out of, the guy who made Nothing Personal, Tom something.
Tom Vassell.
Tom Vassell probably is a podcast. He does a ton of
he
video.
Must have a podcast.
Yeah, he does a ton of video things. He look up Tom Vassell and board games. You'll find he's more American gamer than he is real gamer. So he's correct. So his stuff is pretty good.
One of the things that that's what sparked my mind. We want to actually start producing our own videos for board games as well.
Mm. Tabletop esque.
Yeah.
Once you move, we can get.
Once you move, we'll actually have almost kind of like a studio in one of the bedrooms that we'll be able to produce some awesome videos for that.
Yeah, studio in the bedroom. Fuck yeah, I'm there.
Zappity!
Problem.
Why is Nathan not coming to see me in May? He doesn't love you. Yeah, that was Kurt. That was
cool
Kurt asking.
Kurt.
That. Well, apparently not enough.
I love cool Kurt.
You did say you were all in to go to the event months ago. You're like, I'll go.
Yeah.
But. Isn't that like next weekend?
Two weekends,
maybe. I don't know. Well, no, that's next weekend, right? It's the 10th.
Correct. It's a thing. Yeah.
So it's next weekend.
Yeah.
We'll see. The 3rd is this weekend. Fuck yourself, Jeremy.
I decided not to touch it.
No, it's still this current weekend. So this weekend is
tomorrow.
We
all not
do this. Tomorrow, this weekend will be the 3rd.
Next Saturday.
Well done, sir.
There you go.
Next Saturday in existence.
Not the next Saturday. That would be the 3rd.
Yeah.
Next Saturday is the 10th.
I think your argument breaks down here.
No, it doesn't.
We should probably.
Zappity!
He's only cracked in, though, with English.
Zappity!
None of you play Signar. Why not?
It sucks.
Yeah.
actually, somebody did mention about no Signar in our video cast. We actually have Signar in our next video cast.
Yeah, our next video cast has Signar. Ooh. None of us on the cast play it.
No.
But
I like that Loki's following.
He's going to go eat your lung.
I took the lung out of the room, and Loki's just like, I'm out.
He's going to go eat that lung wherever you
it's
put it.
It's still sealed. He can't get
it. Yeah, why doesn't Signar appeal?
Because plastic bag.
Oh, my God.
It's really going to stand up to cat teeth. With all his Aztec.
Loki's or?
It could be both.
Zappity.
Grumble.
What's happening? If you were able to change one major moment in history, barring the Holocaust, because everyone picks that, what would you change and why? One major moment in history.
What?
If you could change one major moment in history, barring the Holocaust, because everyone picks that,
but
what would you change?
I would have changed.
But fate is what we make.
Nope. We would have changed one. The only important time it would have changed, Nathan will agree with me, is when Michael Bay said no to Scarlett Johansson. If he could change his mind, yes. That's the only
At
time.
Least she's naked in her new movie now, yes. So we got it back. But we would have had it like 15 years ago. And that's
and everyone knows 15 years ago Scarlett would have.
Yeah. She begged.
I know. I heard.
She begged Michael Bay, let me be naked, and he said no.
That's the Fuck history you. Moment that needs to be changed. No other moment matters.
Yeah, that's inarguable, really.
But am I allowed
to? I don't know that that's inarguable.
It is.
Well, Katie, let's hear your counter.
I'm trying to think.
Yeah, and you're struggling, I feel.
Am I allowed to change something that would have prevented the Holocaust if I
feel like that's cheating.
Like the Treaty of Versailles?
Right.
Like,
I feel like that's cheating.
The Treaty of Versailles is to blame for everything wrong with the world
right now? No, the Jews need to die.
Jeez. Well, here's the thing that I just want to point out. There are lots of Holocausts taking place all the time. We just don't hear about it because they're in Africa, and apparently we don't care
like,
about Africa.
No one cares about the genocide going on right now. It's like, oh, whatever. Blacks killing blacks. It's terrible, but it's true. It's just awful. You're like, oh.
Because the news Africa has bad PR. Europe has very good PR, apparently.
Well, there's some celebrity doing something exciting right now, so who cares about, the millions dying
true
somewhere
too.
Else.
Yeah,
it's getting dark.
Yeah.
Zavity. I answered the question.
I'm just saying. Like, if you wanted to... Okay, I'll discount the Jewish Holocaust and say all the genocide in Africa.
Right.
Darfur. Okay, fair enough.
But that you'd have to have a single moment. Like you'd have to...
Oh, I can't pick this, continuation.
There was a...
How about the moment where nobody gave the Zulus guns 50 years before the British tried to subjugate them? So the Boer War. Yeah. I'm going to go to the Boer War and have that go the other way around because 99% of people listening don't know what the Boer War is. But if the Boer War had gone the other way around, that actually would have been really interesting.
Had Cortez died on the causeway? I mean, it came real fucking close. His men had to drag him out of the water.
Well, they say that Black Plague came to Europe because of the catapults from Genghis Khan?
Yep.
But then, we wouldn't have got
If Alexander the Great had a more comfortable saddle.
Is that what killed him?
Yeah, he died of, saddle sores or something. Yeah. Okay.
If
Lincoln's doctors hadn't killed him, there's a lot of There's a lot of great leaders who died of
innocuous
shit. What
about the Vietnam War and the effect it's had on America politics? And
if
America...
we'd stuck with it for two more
months, if we just won the fucking war, if we'd ever been willing to fight it,
if we were like, it's cool that we went to Cambodia, that's fine.
Go back and listen to Eisenhower's farewell address. Holy living fuck. He warned us.
Go back
we didn't
and
fucking listen.
Listen. Listen
to
the first time.
Shit, it's unreal. I mean, the military-industrial complex.
Yeah.
I mean, he said it.
Yeah.
The unwarranted acquisition of power.
How about the moment we switched from the gold standard to the silver standard?
Also,
you will not crucify mankind upon this cross of gold. Nicely done, Katie.
Ooh. I'm going for the bronze standard, personally.
Yeah. We're on now. How are you liking it?
I'm going to stick with Scarlett Johansson's tits.
I'm with you.
I told you I was
zapping.
Grumble.
All right.
Speed it up.
Do you have any suggestions for the Cedar Rapids tourney on the 31st? None of the pre-assembled boards. And done.
No, your first.
How can you? You can't just tell.
This last
That's
time,
the most
this is the guy running. This is the guy running.
This
it
is the guy running. It's Billy Chuck.
The last time I noticed, your first five tables had lots of terrain, and then the last four, you were like, here's two pieces of terrain. So just make sure they're more equally spread. I know there's a bit of a terrain issue with your store, but just if last time, literally tables 7 and 8 had two things on.
We could bring some down. I've got some terrain I can bring down.
We'll bring some terrain.
I liked it when you gave
and
me
you know
terrain's
the issue.
That
like.
Was nice.
And other than that, I want to say this real quick. Those tournaments have been really well run. We have brought it, we doubled the population of the tournament between us and the Des Moines guys that have sort of kind of come out. And they've handled it just fine. And that's usually really hard on a small store.
You're doing a great job. You already know terrain's your only issue, so it's not.
Yeah.
It's strength.
We love you, Billy.
Well, do we?
Zappity.
Grumble.
Actually, Jeremy just really wants a medal.
I so want a coin.
Billy, I have a good sense of humor. Can I say make sure your girlfriend hangs out some? Because I always enjoy when she's there.
That's his fiance.
Make sure your fiance hangs out some. It's getting kind of warm. She should probably wear a bikini.
Ooh.
Wow. All right, so it was okay, and then there was the line. And
I would like to know the story.
Well, that makes sure that, because if I didn't take it over the line, he might have thought I was serious. Now it's a joke.
I want to know the story between their Lego tattoos.
Tattoos are really cool.
They have matching Lego tattoos. I'm just curious what inspired that.
That is cool. I would like to hear the story.
Because they fit together.
Well, right. I'm sure.
And then they get stuck and it's hard to pull them apart.
Right. the penis vagina sense.
Like the old story about the people who use super glue instead of KY jelly.
I think Jeremy and I were talking on the way back. I was thinking that they should have probably had the Lego tattoos on the bottom of their feet. Because that's the worst possible place you could have a tattoo. And stepping on Legos is the worst thing in the world.
I don't think that's what they were going for with the analogy.
No, probably not.
All
All right, we've got like six questions in like four minutes. So
Zoom,
you guys playing? You guys playing Hearthstone? I play it sometimes.
A little.
Meh.
Once in a while.
It's mediocre magic on the computer. Zappity. Yeah.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Silver tequila or Reposado tequila? Oh.
Not a tequila fan.
Hornitos. Holy shit, I had that at Thanksgiving. Fucking blew me away. It's so like
I
amber.
Like silver. I okay. like silver.
Mm. No, Hornitos.
As long as it's in a margarita, that's all that matters.
Well, try a silver tequila margarita. Zappity.
Grumble.
Did Nathan ever post his pig lists anywhere? If so, where? They are posted in the video casts where we play.
Yeah.
So go look there. YouTube. What's our YouTube channel?
YouTube.
Crippled System.
YouTube.com/CrippledSystem.
Go look there.
...
Zappity Grumble. Which model and exigence are you most looking forward to putting on the table? Which one are you least looking forward to playing against? I'm really, really looking forward to playing the new character Nephilim.
Pig Battle Engine.
I'm excited about
character. I'll tell you Nephilim. The books. I'll tell you when I know what they do.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for my Riphorn.
Oh. Good answer.
Poor girl.
No. I want to play the Warbeast packs. I think
they are cool.
Very, very, very neat answer. Looking.
Yeah.
Our wasps are going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Zappity.
We get it because we're a bunch of wasps.
Based on the army you play and the color of magic that represents you, what board game would you play if you knew the world was ending when you finished?
What?
What?
All right.
Your question confuses me.
Yeah. Zappity.
Next week, maybe.
Clarify that for next week.
Yeah. True.
Yeah. I'm going to go red. Will you be at Captain Con? That's Andrew Hartland. That's Hexa. No. Are any of us planning to go?
No.
It's in the Northeast. No. It's kind of a schlup.
It's at a bad time of year.
It's a bad time of year and a schlup for us.
Yeah, maybe next year. I mean,
it'll be amazing.
I will say this, Andrew. I would love to be there. I don't know that it's feasible this year.
No. None of us will be there. Sorry. We love you, Zappity.
We do love you. And that's it. And it's Thrones time.
Oh, I want to recommend QI.
Want to get a
Thrones. It's a British TV show, QI. It's Stephen Fry, who's awesome, and some other celebrities talking about interesting shit for 44 minutes. If you're in England, watch it. If you're not in England, watch old reruns on YouTube.
I want to recommend Bleck. It's $3. It's a little iPad game, and it's really
cool. Bleck.
B-L-E-C-H, I assume?
B-L-E-K.
Okay.
And it's very, very hard.
All right. Okay. Oh, Jeremy. Jeremy, go.
I'm going to recommend Dr. Horrible's Sing-Along Blog because I was looking back. I don't think we ever recommended that.
No, it's amazing. Wow. It's cool. They should definitely not make a sequel.
Oh, hey, God. That's why my name is Bad Horse. I thought that would just be an auto-recommendation.
Yep. Sure.
I would recommend not watching Brick Mansions. The movie is fucking horrible.
What movie?
Brick Mansion.
It's a remake of District 13.
It's Paul whatever his name. They were making when he died.
No.
No, it wasn't the movie he was making when he died.
Oh, District 13, like all the jumping and stunt running and everything. Yeah, that's a great movie. Not District 9, District 13. Well, they're both great.
Yeah.
Is it really a remake of that?
Yeah.
Because it didn't... It felt like it was a bad version of RoboCop.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And, yeah. Like, the whole plot of the movie was to destroy the slums so they could build a new city. Where have I seen that before? All right, go ahead, Brian.
Orphan Black.
Yes.
Season 2 started up.
That,
It's really season 1's amazing. Season 2 just started up. And
that chick's hot. I don't care if she has a tail.
Girl plays, like, five different roles. And in this season, in season 2, she's playing five roles. One of the times... One of the characters was pretending to be another character, but it was the same actress pretending to be herself as a different person. But she pulled it off. So you could actually tell that she was not the real person because she was the other person pretending to be the person.
She pulled off her playing a character playing another character that she plays and had it be different than her just playing that character.
On top of that,
yet she was not nominated for an Emmy.
Yeah, that's why the Emmys are fraud because she deserves an Emmy. Plus, they always have the clones interacting with each other, and the special effects are amazing because they're always interacting. You can't tell. I mean, I had to pause some scenes and like study them to see what the difference was because some of them are so ridiculous.
It's not like Multiplicity?
No. It is, but it's much, much darker.
You got to be quicker.
All right, I'm done.
Either of David Foster Wallace's nonfiction essay collections, particularly A Supposedly Fun Thing I'll Never Do Again. The guy's fucking incredible.
All right,
cool.
All right, sweet.
That was 69.
Sweet.
Yeah. Oddly enough, not enough sex jokes.
I reined it in. I didn't want Andy to have to edit. Where did it come from?